Guys, I figured something out. You like football?
It's the best.
Not like one game?
No.
No.
Two games?
No.
If you like something, you don't want one of it?
You want?
I want all of it.
Well, look, some of you can't get DirecTV where you live. That's not a problem because you can stream NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices without a satellite and get those front row seats to every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. You can follow your favorite team. You can follow your favorite players like we do. You can stream it with no satellite, and you can get access to things like player tracker and shortcuts and all the cool stuff that everybody else can get with DirecTV. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady now to see if you're eligible. Pro tip, use the promo code BALLERS2021 at checkout and save 15%. Again, to see if you're eligible for the NFL Sunday Ticket streaming package, go to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady and use the code BALLERS2021 to save 15% when you sign up.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. It's so great to be back here Wednesday, October 6th, talking fantasy football with the people. Jason Moore, present accounted for.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Wright.
Hello.
Now, Mike, you recently had a new haircut. It mm-hmm. received some mm-hmm. notoriety.
Well, it was a great haircut.
And it's 2 days in, you're back in a hat. What happened today?
The shower.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fantastic. The timing of the shower was a little bit earlier yesterday. Did the workout when I got home and then showered after that.
No shower this morning.
Yeah, it was not this morning, and I don't know. The timing didn't work out. Also, I have this huge, gigantic forehead. No amount of haircut can get rid of that.
So just every few days you feel you need to cover it?
Every once in a while I catch it and I'm like, ooh.
Like you have a hat.
We got to cover that up. Not today.
Al Borland, I'm going to put you on black. What did you just call it?
A six head.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard five head, but six head is
where you're at now.
It's a little.
Is that like a nose? Does it grow over time?
Your forehead?
I guess it does with the hair.
Yeah, because the hair goes back.
Yeah.
Hair goes back and the ears get bigger.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
I want to give a shout out. We haven't kind of, there's a lot of hype around the Mega Bowl because it's the Mega Bowl. And we're 4 weeks in, and I figured it'd be nice to shout out the Hasse Rockstars, who are 4-0 and have a Mega Bowl high of 680.42 points. That is the most in all of the Mega Bowl, which is how many people are in that? 15,000 plus? Somewhere around there?
I don't remember. It's a lot.
So for all of you Mega Bowlers out there.
How many points?
680.
680. Oh, are you checking your team?
Yeah. And let me just give you a point of reference here. In my Mega Bowl league, I am in first place and have the most points scored in the league. And I have 482.
Wow.
So his team is be dominating.
It's the mega list?
So far, but this is a long season, and I'm going to call it now. I would take the field.
I did hear he just lost David Mopportunity.
Oh, bro.
So that's going to hurt.
A couple of
housekeeping things. We have Spotify Green Room this afternoon.
Yeah.
If you aren't familiar with that, we do a live episode. We hang out. We talk to the listeners in the room, we bring them up on stage. We talk what's going on in fantasy and answer some questions. You can get the Green Room app. It's a live audio app from Spotify. It's free.
It's good vibes in there, man.
It's fun. It's a good time.
It's different. If
no one has to see your forehead.
Oh yeah, that's the best part.
You unbutton the top button. You know what I mean, like
of my forehead.
No, I'm. I was moving on, like, you know, your shirt. Relax.
This is a very buttoned up show, is what you're saying.
Exactly. This is like a tuxedo show, and that one is like a
tuxedo shirt show.
Right.
Yeah, so that's today, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. We're doing it all season long, and it's free. And you just want to get in the room early, because it does cap out and fill up. And
it's the room where it happened.
Yeah, well, it's a good time. Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow us. Mike at FF Hitman. Jason at Jason FFL. I'm at Andy Holloway. And the community of incredible humans over at jointhefoot.com. You get a bonus show. You get access to a bunch of premium tools, all the premium Discord channels. And I think we can move forward.
Buy or Sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
Did you actually, is your streak over, Mike, of just being absolutely on fire?
Yeah, I only got one.
Well, that's a shame.
Mike and I were one apart, and we thought we were really going to separate from each other last week, and we both went one of three.
All right, I wasn't here for that episode, so I went
over,
0 for 0.
0 for 3.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor was the one that you did hit last week, Mike. Good call on JTT.
Yeah, imagine not betting on a running back against Miami Dolphins right now.
Yeah, wow. I told you, the season's over. They're done.
For the Dolphins?
Yeah. It's over. Week 5. Sorry, Dolphins fans.
Yeah.
Week 5, buy or sell? Oh, boy. Damian Harris at Houston as a top 24 running back. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there were, I think, six players that received carries for the Patriots last week. They combined for 8 total carries for -1 total yards.
That was good. The
rushing game for the Patriots against Tampa. That's going to boost those Tampa numbers. This week, Damian Harris takes on a different opponent. It's the Houston Texans, and I am buying a top 24 week from Damian Harris. Honestly, probably my favorite DFS pick of the week. Price to value. I think it's a bounce back week for him. Tons of opportunities.
Mike?
Oh, I'm buying this. It's the Houston Texans. It's the Patriots. Anything can happen with this running game. Anything can happen with this team as they're apparently releasing or trading last seconds Gilmore, which is – that's wild stuff going on up there in New England. But this is the moment that Damian Harris has been preparing for his entire life. Where you go
I don't know
in,
about that, but
– oh, yeah. No, this is it. Going in as a heavy favorite, should easily see 12-plus carries, goal line opportunities. I'm buying Harris.
Yeah, the Houston Texans are awful as a team. They're not that – they're middle of the pack when it comes to fantasy points given up to the running back position, and that's including, you know, losing 40-0 last week. It's a really good line, but I guess I will buy as well. I was tempted if you both bought to sell, but the reality is the first 2 weeks, Damian Harris was in the top 24. Now he
top
does –
top 20.
Ooh.
Okay.
Changes to top 20. Will you sell that?
I'll sell.
Okay. All right. So now we got some differentiation.
Sure.
All right, Mike, are you still buying a top 20?
Yeah, I'll still buy.
Yeah, I will too. By the way, only 14 opportunities for Harris over the last 2 weeks. And to be honest, while this is a great matchup, not my favorite type of player to deal with in fantasy football. 26 opportunities in week 1 against that defense that you just talked about where Jonathan Taylor exploited them. Still only ended up just inside the top 24. So.
Yeah, but he hit a hundo.
I know, but that I'm just saying, like, if everything goes right, you tell me Damian Harris gets 26 opportunities against a bad defense, and he can barely climb into the top 24, that's not my favorite type of player.
I understand, but he hit 100 yards. That was Mac Jones' first game in the NFL. He's
trending the wrong way. I would trade him after this week.
Harris?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind that, but I'm saying that Mac Jones is improving, and this team is the Houston Texans, man. Woof.
Not good. They released Anthony Miller today. Did you see that, Jason?
I did see that, which was surprising because they don't have a lot of good wide
Why?
Receivers. And he was fine.
And they traded a fifth for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a well-run franchise, so you can't question him.
Like, what is there to gain? It's so strange.
The absence of Anthony Miller.
I guess.
Calvin Ridley, buy or sell, 100 receiving yards against the New York Jets.
This one is an easy sell for me. Look, on paper, you go, well, it's the Jets. They're easy. It's Calvin Ridley, who's been, you know, he is still great. He hasn't been catching his long passes. Those will come. And so I won't be surprised if he gets it, but I will not project it. The Jets are right now third best against wide receivers. That's not because they're great. It's because they are so horrendous against the run. And I think that Arthur Smith is going to want to establish it, and he's going to be able to this week. So I'm going to take the under on a 100-yard line for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are against me, but I'll buy it as the first 100-yard game for Calvin Ridley this week.
This year?
This year and this week.
It's also true.
But, you know, the Jets, they obviously played a depleted wide receiver core with Tennessee, and I think that establishing the run with Mike Davis and Cordero may be a little bit more difficult than Derrick Henry. So I think Ridley will do it this week and finally redeem that draft value for a week.
I'm going to buy it as well. You still saw 13 targets and 7 receptions this past week, but an abysmal 54% catch rate for Calvin Ridley. I had mentioned on, I think it was Monday's show, just Ridley was very, very close to an absolute monster game. So I'm going to call for the breakout against the Jets.
Buy or sell Terry McLaurin against New Orleans as a top 15 wide receiver. He's going to face Lattimore in week one. He was wide receiver 57. Then he was wide receiver 3. Then he was wide receiver 45. Then he's wide receiver 4. What are you guys doing? I'm going to wait on this one.
I'll hop in first again. I hope he is great. He was my start of the week last week. Love him. He can beat Marshawn Lattimore, but the combination of Heinicke and Lattimore, I'm going to sell this line. It's very difficult. Marshawn
Lattimore.
The combination
of the defense and his quarterback.
Yes, I'm saying that I don't. Curtis Samuel is a second option he has at the wide receiver position to go to if Marshawn Lattimore is draped all over Terry McLaurin. The nice thing is we've seen Terry McLaurin thrown to by Heinicke without separation necessarily.
Right.
But I'm going to sell here.
Mike?
Oh, man.
15 is a tough line.
It is. 15,
you need that touchdown.
You have to have a touchdown. So it's like the probability of a touchdown every of weekly is just so low. I have him ranked in there. Sorry. Like I really want to think this through. I have Terry McLaurin currently ranked inside my top 15. So I'm going to buy it. I'll buy it. Terry McLaurin is good. I'm not going to bet against him.
He's great.
I'll sell it. I think the ping pong of games continues for Terry McLaurin, which is probably...
I do like following those trends.
Yeah. Well, that was Buy or Sell from PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. You'll get a $10 credit towards some sweet sports memorabilia at PristineAuction.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
What is happening in Seattle with Chris Carson? He didn't practice on Tuesday. They play this Thursday. They're the Thursday night football game. He ceded a ton of carries, maybe due to this injury, to Alex Collins. Like, how are you viewing this situation?
You're freaked out. If you were counting on Chris Carson for this week, hopefully you got this news later yesterday and you were able to adjust your waiver strategy accordingly, and perhaps at least if you have Carson on your team, maybe you prioritized Alex Collins a little bit more just to protect yourself. I'm not ruling Chris Carson out. Well, you know, I can't, but I'm saying I think there is still a chance that he plays. He, I believe in week one, was on the injury report for a neck injury.
This injury popped up in week one. But so this isn't new, but he did practice in full like that week.
Right.
But
short week.
Wouldn't you expect him to get rest? Like this is one of those situations where it sounds scary because you're like, he's got a neck injury, he didn't practice, and it's a short week. So you just the narrative makes you think he's gonna miss, but I mean
I'd make other plans though.
Right, sure. Because you've got to be prepared, especially if you're the Chris Carson manager.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the Rams, right?
Yeah, the matchup sucks.
And then you're going to split. Like, there's not a high likelihood that these 3 days of rest are going to change what they did this past week. So
right,
it just seems
this
scary.
This past week, the results were very split, almost an equal carry count. Alex Collins got the touchdown last week. And Alex Collins is a very fine backup.
Yeah,
if Chris Carson were to actually miss the game, Alex Collins would be valuable because he'd be by himself.
Teddy Bridgewater progressing through the concussion protocol, feeling better, not going to practice today. We'll monitor that.
Okay.
Tony Brooks, Jones, James, whatever his name is, Tony Jones.
From the Saints.
In line to miss the next 3 to 4 weeks. So the Saints ended up picking up Divine Ozigbo, okay, formerly of Jacksonville. And Kamara's going to get more work than he was normally getting, probably. So they play Washington.
How about some targets? New Orleans?
I don't know how to feel about New Orleans at all. I just don't. They middle of the pack.
I don't know either.
Like this week, the biggest DFS bargain on defense is Washington. Like they're like 2,600. And they play New Orleans. And I don't know which week it is for New Orleans. Is it going to be a good one? Is Washington's defense this bad? Is this the week where those two things come up against each other and it works out because they're at home?
How much will this offense change when Michael Thomas comes back? We haven't really brought his name up, but we're heading into week 5.
I'm glad you brought it up.
And this is a player where, you know, we probably should have brought him up yesterday, because when people are making their waiver claims, that's when they're like, oh, I just need one more roster spot. And someone that was holding Michael Thomas and is still 2 weeks away, you might be able to trade for them. You still might be able to do it now, but
today's a good day to kick
the tires and see, because they need him desperately.
Yeah, but what does the team morph, like they're past the rush ratio where they are now a ground and pound team, which is wild, of just with the personnel and the player that Alvin Kamara is, where he really excels when you give him targets. I don't think they completely morph back to a pass heavy team, but the passing has to go up at least a little bit. And does that instantly turn into like Michael Thomas is a 30-plus target share player?
Oh, he will be a 30-plus target share player. I mean, you can't pass right now because you can't pass. I mean, that's the issue. You got Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris and Lil Jordan Humphrey.
So if you're 4-0 right now, are you actively trying to get Michael Thomas right now? Because every week that goes by, it will be – the price will go up. It will be far more difficult to trade for him. Like you could be able, maybe the manager who has him right now, they're off to a poor start.
The way that you acquire Michael Thomas right now is including him in a deal, not targeting him in a deal. If you target him directly, it's like sending a flag.
The jig is up.
it sends a flag up to the other manager.
Does he know?
You need to just do a 2-for-2 or something where he's part of the deal. And this manager can say, well, he's not helping my team, I need a win, and put him in the deal. All that being said, they're also not passing because they have Jameis Winston at quarterback. That's part of why they're not passing as much. So 30% target share, we'll figure out what that represents, right? We'll figure out if that means a baby pie. I mean, right now, like, Winston is obviously not an option because they'll bring Taysom Hill in at any moment and use him around the goal line. I don't think you want... I mean, it's just a really difficult to predict situation.
It is something where you need to be aware they have a week 7 bye. He's eligible to come back after week 6. So it will be week 8 before Michael Thomas will be back on the field. So just be aware of that when looking at your roster and making a determination on whether you want to add him.
Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin, a chance of playing this week. Will Fuller was placed on the 3-week IR with the broken hand. Will not play.
I'll take the over.
On how long he'll be out?
Yeah, just because he loves being out.
I don't think he likes it.
Well, that's fair. I don't think he likes it, but he's really good at it.
His body is into it.
Yeah.
Look, you get back in action and you break your finger, I feel bad for the dude.
I feel bad for him as well. It's just at some point you have to just call a spade a spade.
Will Fuller should be I want to see him with Tua. We haven't seen it. I want to see him with Tua on the return. That's week 7, week 8. We'll see what happens. Peyton Barber, mild turf toe, no fracture, seeking opinions, having tests.
Oh, the turntables.
Yeah, I see Barber time is – barbershop's closed.
Yeah, it's just – Jacob's problem wasn't Jacob's problem a toe. It's just interesting how the irony of the world.
Yeah. Today's news and notes presented by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. Download Sleeper and grab that Breaking Alerts channel. You can join the Fantasy Footballers channel, too.
You should.
But you can join the Breaking Alerts channel if you want that. If you want to find out that Stephon Gilmore is being cut randomly in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and if Cardinals, do you wear that? Cards out there? Hmm?
Do you guys have the sleeper?
You know the Cardinals are number three against the pass in the NFL? So I think
there's room for improvement.
I think that I think there's other desperate teams out there.
Yeah, he's going to be a Buccaneer. We all know. All right. Before we get into the mailbag, want to thank today's sponsors. Want to thank IP Vanish for sponsoring today's episode. IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short, which is a very important tool. It's going to help you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, your tablets, your phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever you're doing is safe and protected. If you're on a public Wi-Fi and you don't trust...
You should not.
Right. I mean, you're being watched, but the IP Vanish will protect you. And if you do run into any kind of problems, IP Vanish has a 24/7 support available by email, chat, telephone. It is very, very easy to use. I've set it up. It's a click of a button. It runs seamlessly in the background. So you can go to IPVanish.com/footballers to claim a 65% savings right now. Their annual plan is just $44.99 for the first year with our discount. And this is the time to sign up, because with our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off the usual offering. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. And that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's IPVanish.com/footballers to get the deal and start protecting yourself online today.
Foot Clan, have you ever wanted to learn how to box or kickbox from real fighters? Do you want to get your kids involved in a fitness journey with you while teaching them a valuable skill? You ever feel like you just want to punch something?
Yes.
What do you and your household do to stay active? Fight Camp. Ladies and gentlemen, Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right to your home with full body workouts that you'll actually look forward to and a freestanding punching bag that can take your hardest hits. Fight Camp is made for beginners to experienced boxers. You want to box from home? Fight Camp is how you get it done. They have new content being released weekly from easy to advanced. It's great for kids. Fight Camp is one of the only home workouts it's safe for kids to do because there's no heavy weights, no spinning wheels. And as soon as most people get their Fight Camp bag, the kids are always the first to walk up and want to try it out. Learn from 6 highly qualified trainers, all with real fight experience, like a pro MMA fighter, a kickboxing champion. You got to check this out. You got to get in shape. Maybe the running's not for you. Check out Fight Camp. You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months for less than the cost of a boxing gym and get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/footballers to get free shipping on Fight Camp. Go to joinfightcamp.com/footballers. joinfightcamp.com/footballers.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ooh, yeah. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the Submit a Question button. You can also dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. I think that sound that you heard, that was another voicemail coming in. Definitely. Definitely another voicemail. Do we have a voicemail today, Brooksy? We do.
Yes, sir.
We do have one. Let's go there.
Hey, Fantasy Footballers. This is Aaron up in Ontario, Canada. Real dilemma here. Do I start Laviska Shenault or Allen Robinson in a full PPR? Thanks. Love the show.
No comment.
Next question.
I mean, we were just discussing Allen Robinson before the show. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll jump in here. If you've been following the show all the season long, you know that the league of record is not bouncing my way. I am just missing, and now I'm kind of in this state of purgatory of going all in. Could we trade draft picks? Do I hedge? What do I do here? And part of my huge problem was my lack of picks going into the draft, because you know I sold out last year, took home a championship. But my first pick was Allen Robinson, and he is just submarining my team over and over again. And what is the value? What is the true value of Allen Robinson with the Chicago Bears, where Darnell Mooney, like the numbers say, Darnell Mooney is the number one wide receiver on the Chicago Bears right now. I get we can say, well, look at the history of Allen Robinson, but you could what is happening right now is Darnell Mooney is the number one guy. And you have him taking on the Raiders, who are a legitimate defense. This defense just shut down a red, scorching hot Mike Williams, and they held Keenan Allen to like 7 receptions for 30-something yards. The Raiders, while it's fun to poke, it's a good time to poke fun at the Raiders, but their defense is legitimate. And you cannot start Allen Robinson until you have proof of life that he's actually going to be involved with the offense. You still don't know if it's going to be a somewhat hobbled Andy Dalton. You don't know if it is the apparently this rookie quarterback that the budget magician seems to despise, even though they traded up for him in the first round in Justin Fields. Meanwhile, Laviska Shenault takes on the Tennessee Titans, horrific secondary, should see a volume uptick. We saw it last week because, unfortunately, DJ Chark went down with the fractured ankle. He's on the IR. He's not coming back. I am definitely playing Shenault over Allen Robinson for the foreseeable future until Allen Robinson proves to me that he's actually a part of this offense in Chicago.
Yeah, one of the things that was said before the show was there seems to be a long ways from where Robinson is now to where you would want him to be and where you would be confident in him. And there's the possibility that this is it. I mean, this is his last year there. They have a quarterback problem. You outlaid it perfectly. Shenault has more upside this week, and he may have more upside in the future, and you may have to just grin and bear it and or accept it. The sooner you accept it, maybe the better your team ends up. And it's tough. It's really tough. Now, Jason's over here just making notes.
What are you doing over here, Jay?
Some personal work.
He's in the middle of a show for our listeners.
Oh, our
waivers went through in League of Record. And, you know, just so you know, in our league, someone paid $92 for Damian Williams.
Yep.
What?
Yep. I mean, Mike and I both
went
in.
So you're telling me I didn't get him?
No, you did.
Mike and I both went in for a Hagar. We did not get him. We wouldn't have got him. There was a $63 bid, a $67 bid, and the winning $92 bid.
And even some player like Samaje Perine went for 40 fab.
Wow.
That seems very high.
Whoa.
So there you go. Just and Jason is making notes over here and players he wants to trade for. Or something like that.
Yeah. I did get Alex Collins, so that's good.
What'd you bid on Alex Collins?
11.
Okay.
Keep in mind, I have no Christian McCaffrey and no David Montgomery.
That's a fine price because he could have lasting value.
This is a side note. Clearly, it didn't work out for me with the my fab bid of 55, but I used my detective skills, went and looked, I saw my opponent Jason, who desperately needed to get Damian Williams, and I took my educated guess of what is Jason going to bid, knowing that I had the priority. Should we tie? So that's
and
where
I had $55 fab. So
that's exactly where I went. I wasn't willing to go. You know, like I wasn't willing to throw everything at him. But I was just, you know, that's a little side game note. When you're looking at how much you should bid, first thing you should do is you should go see how many points or dollars the rest of the managers out there have.
100%. It's a really good piece of advice at this time of the year. You don't think about it in the beginning of the year because everybody has fab. But this from here on out. When you're placing your bids, go look at the rest of the league and how much cash they have to spend.
Yeah, I really went back and forth on whether to pay a dollar for Jeremy McNichols or try to get him for free. And fortunately, I paid a dollar because you would have had him, Jason.
Would I? Yeah. I don't think that's true. I think my roster would have been capped out. I got Crowder and Alex Collins ahead.
All right. enough about us. Let's grab a question. Adam Holland. Should I trade CeeDee Lamb before the week 5 games? If he puts up 3 stinkers, his trade value may plummet. He's the inverse of the on fire rules right now with a couple of disappointing performances. I feel like people's view of CeeDee Lamb right now is just holding strong. No real change in outlook from draft day. But are you concerned? I mean, I think we've talked about it a little bit. Would you trade him now, or would you just hold and hope?
The following question here also with CeeDee Lamb I love is Michael Nolan writes in, CeeDee Lamb or Corey Davis is my question! Exclamation point. Yeah, so one of the notes that Andy saw me writing down was trade for CD, because to me, I'm what Andy said. His value hasn't really changed from draft day from what I've seen. He had basically 190 yards through the first 2 weeks. Week three was unnecessary as they blew out the Eagles and then had a down week this last week. So if managers are out there worried and saying, do I need to unload him now? I'll kick the tires and see if I can get a discount on him, because as we've talked about, all wide receivers have down weeks. You know, you had two worse weeks from Tyreek Hill back to back, and I don't look at this offense as bad. I don't look at CeeDee Lamb as bad. I don't look at anything in this situation as overtly negative. And if I had to make the decision between CeeDee Lamb and Corey Davis, that's an easy CeeDee Lamb for me.
I think that there is some stuff that's changed in Dallas because of the success they're having in the running game. I mean,
yes.
Dak Prescott threw for 188 yards in a win where they had over, 30 points. So that wasn't an outcome I thought was possible this
year.
But
in that same game,
he threw four touchdown passes.
Right, and he was an inch away from one of those touchdown passes being CeeDee Lamb, right? Like,
yeah, but you don't. I mean, I'm just saying, like, what I believed about Dallas before the season was that these games weren't possible. I would not have believed before the season that Dak could throw for 188 yards and they could score 36 points. I would not believe that they could have scored 36 points and CeeDee Lamb only have two fantasy points in that game. Those are both things that change my outlook on Dallas. Not to say that you shouldn't trade low on him, but these were not outcomes I expected.
Yeah, I would go get CeeDee Lamb. This is now part of your process, is knowing that every once in a while you'll see a game where they're able to establish the run and they're able to hold it through the entire game. You kind of illustrated it, Andy, with the talk about the attempts that Dak had last week in a 36-point victory. And to illustrate that further, CeeDee Lamb had 5 targets. That was a 23% target share. So that means that in the offense, when they were actually throwing, CeeDee Lamb was still a humongous part of it.
It was 50% of the wide receiver target share.
Yeah, so I would definitely go trade for CeeDee. There are much bigger and better days coming for Mr. Lamb.
Todd in Wisconsin, is Jeff Wilson going to be the number one option at running back when he returns from the PUP?
Who knows? Kyle Shanahan is a wacky guy.
Why don't you guys handicap
him? That was from the depths.
Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell, who may or may not be involved this week. Jeff Wilson has the longest history with Shanahan. Odds that Wilson comes into a majority role, a fantasy relevant role, on his return.
Ooh.
Jason.
I would put it at about 50%, which is why I say who knows. I could absolutely see that happening. Or you could say, well, it's his first week back. They've got three backs. Let's make it a three-headed monster. I mean, we've seen that from Shanahan before. It is very, very difficult to pretend to know. I guess it's easy to pretend, but that's what you're doing when you claim that you have an inside track to the mind of Shanahan and how he's going to game plan for opponent X based on the running backs he has at hand. We've seen that already through this year. And, I mean, if it's a Juszczyk game or it's a Sermon game or a Missile or a Jeff Wilson, it's really, really difficult.
So I was not necessarily asking the question in the context. When I heard when he returns from the PUP, I was not thinking like game one. I was thinking like from that point on into the season, that the odds that Wilson would be relevant.
If everyone is completely healthy in that backfield, minus Raheem Mostert, obviously, who is gone, then I would put it at 2/3. I think 66% that Jeff Wilson would be the primary guy.
I think they're two separate questions. I don't think he'll be the primary guy, but I think he will be fantasy relevant.
He can catch passes. That's the one thing that he's done historically.
And he will be the goal line.
Yeah,
he'll be the red zone and the goal line running back, which is why he will have fantasy relevance, because they score a lot of rushing touchdowns. My bet would be that Mitchell will be Raheem Mostert, and Jeff Wilson will go back to being Jeff Wilson.
It's funny because, you know, Mike, I know Jeff Wilson was a key to your championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
The last two games of the season, the last two times we saw him, He was the number 5 overall running back and the number 7 overall running back in fantasy football.
He was the last man standing.
He also received like a lot of targets over the last 5 weeks. His target pace was 71 for the last 5 weeks last year. That's not something we've seen Missile do. That's not something we've seen Sermon do yet. So, but you're right.
But I'm saying like Mostert was gone. If my memory is correct, Mostert was gone.
Still gone.
Yeah, but he was gone for the end, and so was Tevin Coleman. Like, Jeff Wilson was it.
Yeah, and obviously they're two.
I mean, they had DeMichael Hasty, didn't they?
Yeah, they.
So I'm just wondering.
I can't remember who was actually healthy.
Did you gain confidence in Trey Sermon after this week's performance? Do you think the team did, I guess?
He looked better. Meanwhile, Kyle Juszczyk, great friend of the show, what up, Juice, played on over 80% of the offensive snaps.
Oh, congratulations.
For the
was that abnormal to his normal snap count?
Yes. I heard someone mention it. I have not vetted it, but I heard that that was like the highest percent of snaps for his San Francisco career.
Yeah, 82%. Previous week, 69, 59, 36.
I don't think they have confidence in Sermon.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't think they do.
That speaks very highly to the fact that they're making it work right now without the options they're happy with.
Yeah, and this wouldn't be the first time that Shanahan has drafted a player in that, a running back in that range, and then turned on them quickly.
Interesting. And there's a lot that can happen in San Francisco.
Shout out, dang it, what was that guy's name?
For
the running back that, quote, Kyle Shanahan pounded the table for a couple years back.
Joe Williams.
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
I mean, this feels a lot like that.
Yeah, I mean, do we give Kyle Shanahan too much credit?
Yes.
Because his career record, all of these like draft and personnel decisions, whether it's, you know, it's one thing to blame, you know, you can make fun of and blame Dante Pettis. Well, he's Kyle Shanahan's second round pick, right?
Well,
or third round pick.
I mean,
as was, you know, Trey Sermon, a high draft pick.
I mean, Shanahan is part of it. They do have a GM as well. Does he get too much credit for being a genius? Yes, but his offense is, when he has the pieces that he needs, his offense is elite.
He is a very...
He was just in the Super Bowl years ago.
He is a very, very good head coach and a very brilliant offensive mind, and those two truths make us give him a free pass on everything and paint with too broad of a brush stroke. I think we ignore... some of the faults.
And obviously they've dealt with injuries. This is what you're saying, though. We like rationalize it away. He's won more than 6 games one time in 4 seasons with San Francisco. And then
But all the injuries!
Yeah, I mean...
last year the injuries was a fair excuse to me. Belichick misses all the time in the draft. And he's still considered the greatest coach of all time.
Okay, all right.
Just saying, no one...
Greatest
no
coach
perfect.
Of all time. Mike's quote for Kyle Shanahan.
No, Bill Belichick.
Oh, no, I thought you were saying Kyle Shanahan.
Oh. How dare you?
All right, Aaron in Oregon. Why is Nagy listing Montgomery as doubtful so I can't put him in my IR spot?
Yeah. Because he's a budget magician and he just, it's just a power play. That's all it is.
It's to troll everybody.
Yeah, it's just a power play to show like he's in charge. He's not going to do what y'all want him to do. He's going to do what he wants to do, and you're going to deal with it, and that's just stupid.
Reverse psychology would work very well on Matt Nagy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It would be so easy.
Yeah.
Someone get around him and treat him like a 5-year-old.
I just feel like he's trying. Like you said, it's power. You don't have control over so much anymore. I don't have the play call, but I could take the play calls back anytime I want to. We're a team. We know what we're doing. Yeah. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to ruin your fantasy team because that's...
No, he does it because he's a clown.
All righty. Twitter, Applejacks, trade Deebo Samuel for Calvin Ridley? Question mark?
Interesting. So Deebo Samuel's obviously...
Number 3 right now.
He's been magma. He is the centerpiece of that offense. He is what's moving it along. Obviously has never had a full season of dominance. He's got a healthy injury history, if you can use that ironically.
I like it.
You know, Calvin Ridley has done nothing but dominate as an NFL wide receiver And this year, you've got one better than the other. I mean, it's clear Debo is the better option. So it's definitely interesting. Would you make this trade based on history versus what's happened in four little weeks? And I think, I mean, you know where I am. So I want to hear where you are.
I'm fine with the trade. I mean, one thing that's interesting about these two players is that they're both extremely consistent when they play football. Over the last, you know, we have a consistency grade on our website where we look at the last 17-game sample size for players. Both players are at 70%. 70% of the time, that's an A.
Which is great for wide receivers.
To give you an example, like Tyler Lockett is at 29.4%, giving you a usable benchmark.
Over the last 17 games.
Debo Samuel is at 69.5%, and Calvin Ridley is at like 70%. Both players, when you play them, can be counted on if you want to kind of cash in and avoid injury concerns with Debo. You can do that. He's healthy right now.
It's not just the health concerns. It's also the offensive concerns of when I get it. He had the huge, whatever, 70-yard touchdown on a completely broken coverage on a touchdown
pass
from Trey Lance.
I would do the trade.
You'd rather have?
I'd rather have Ridley.
Okay, that's where I was going.
Yeah, they both have 42 targets. It's crazy how similar they are on the consistency metric, and they both have 42 targets this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go with Ridley? You know he's going to come into every game as the primary wide receiver target. Debo may have a game where Kittle's the target or the running game's the target, you know, or the game plan for Shanahan. So even though I think Debo's here to stay, but I think Ridley is a great, great kind of cash in.
It is really, really funny and kind of almost childish to think about the math in this way, but it's true. If both players have, say, 10 great games over the course of the season, which I think is reasonable for wide receivers, don't just do it for 17 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And one player already has, you know, three of them and one player has zero. How many games are left? I know that's not how it works necessarily, but to some degree, it really, really is, because we have enough data going back showing at how, you know, consistent and inconsistent wide receivers are, especially the studs at the top. And you know that Calvin Ridley's going to end the season with a bunch of good games, and he hasn't had one yet. So they're all coming. You're cashing in.
Now, let me – I get the logic behind that. Although every game is its own thing,
that's
right?
That's a very he's due argument.
Yeah. Now we've spent too much time maybe focusing on, Trey Lance, the playoff schedule. That's the same playoff schedule Debo Samuel has. He gets to play Atlanta, Tennessee, and Houston the last three games of the year for your fantasy team. He also, as you said, I mean, there's two top 3 weeks for Debo. I don't think Calvin Ridley's broken the top 15 this year.
No, 17 is as high in half PPR.
Yeah, I mean, the trade is fair. I think we all lean the history of Ridley over the history of Debo.
Yep.
All right, website question from Nate in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Najee Harris or Nick Chubb rest of season in a full PPR league?
Najee.
The answer is Najee Harris.
The full PPR.
He's not nearly the running back Nick Chubb is, and
no,
it's Najee Harris.
No, the full PPR is... You can't ignore what Big Ben is doing here with Najee. It's first read a lot of the time for Najee, and he just checks it down. Ben's like, nope, I'm not going to go through these progressions here. Najee's open. Let's just give him the ball.
Najee has five more targets than any running back in football through 4 weeks. I don't know if you guys knew that.
It makes sense with the 19-target game.
Nick Chubb is actually, an incredible player, a difficult or frustrating player sometimes in fantasy because you do have Kareem Hunt. And so you have a player that can come in. Like, nobody's coming in for Najee, right?
Nobody of note.
No. I mean,
they'll bring a Benny
Snell in for a play.
Three
and then they'll be like, oh, no, that's Benny Snell out there. Get Najee back.
I mean, Najee Harris has surpassed 45 yards rushing one time this year. And he has three top 12 weeks.
And
it can get better.
That's the point I was going to go into of part of why I loved Najee for fantasy so much and felt safe in him as a second round pick was he could be inefficient. He can be terrible.
He can suck
and be the running back that I projected him to be a strong professional running back, as the Steelers did when they took him in the first round. But say something goes awry and he's just bad and he's inefficient. It doesn't matter for fantasy football because there will be so much work for him that he can dominate. And that's where we've kind of been through 4 weeks. He can improve as a professional football player, and the Steelers might figure some stuff out. Like, they probably won't, but it's in the range of outcomes here, and it could be even better for Najee.
It's funny, in the itty-bitty sample size.
I know where you're going.
Of the first 4 weeks is he was bad when they won the game.
He was RB 43.
Right, because they won and they didn't need to throw the ball to him and check down, and they weren't coming back from behind. And the last 3 weeks where he's gotten absurd targets, they lost all three games. They were down, and they needed to just keep trying to move the ball, and they can't, so they check it down to Najee. So it's almost like you want him
in the inverse Josh Jacobs.
Exactly. You want him in losses. You want him against an offense that can score on the Steelers. You got Drew Lock this week, so, well, maybe TBD on, but Denver is the matchup. So let's hope for Teddy Bridgewater's to be active for Najee.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, 17 points against Las Vegas, 10 points against Cincinnati, 17 against Green Bay. That's your Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
It's not great.
Okay, well, let's move forward. Evan, how do you make trades in a league where people don't respond to your offers or messages?
You can't.
Yeah. I mean,
the truth is you...
This is people, a common question.
Yeah, if people don't respond and don't even communicate, you can't make trades. So if you want to change that, step one is more communication outside of trades. Just talk more, chat more, have more, trash talk and just fun interaction. And the more that people communicate, the more opportunity there is to kind of side chat a trade. That would be step one. And step two would be next year, go to footclanleagues.com and get in a league with a bunch of FootClan members who know how to play fantasy football the right way.
Like, think of the business world, like where real business deals go down. Sometimes it happens in the boardroom. I get that. But very often it's a social situation. You're out on the golf course. You're at the bar. You're just hanging out with people and socializing, and that's where all of a sudden real big business transactions take place. Like, fantasy football is not that much different than that. You need to build up this culture of friendship, which the communication hub is the starting point, but it's difficult. And we're not magicians who, if people don't respond to you, they just don't respond to you.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to have success dragging 11 other people along in a league. So if you literally have no one that has any interest in moving the league forward,
yeah,
you're probably in a dead end. And you probably need a new league. And that's the truth.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
All right, the Rams at 3-1 take on the 2-2 Seahawks in Seattle. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Rams -2.5 on the road. Over under a delightful 54.5. And look, the Seattle defense through four games, they're giving it up. I mean, 24th against quarterbacks, 30th against running backs, 22nd against wide receivers. Your core fantasy positions, you're starting Stafford, Henderson, Kupp. I guess you have a decision between maybe Van Jefferson and Robert Woods. I've been digging in a little bit more into the Van Jefferson, Robert Woods conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
We had someone reach out from that part of the country, and you know, he put some fear in me that maybe Van Jefferson is being built into a more solidified role and Robert Woods is being built into more of a blocking role than we know. But then Rams coach Sean McVay comes out and says we need to give him more opportunities.
It's just what he wants you to think.
If you're staring down Jefferson or Woods this week, I think that is a fair decision.
And I'm sorry. That would be such a brutal choice. How do you...
I picked up Van Jefferson this morning.
I saw.
So I want to see if this materializes into something more long-term But do you go with Woods or Jefferson if you have that decision, Jason?
I would still go with Woods. The targets over the last 2 weeks have been the same for both, but over the course of the season, they're obviously heavier in Robert Woods' favor. I think with McVay coming out wanting to get him more involved, he can do whatever he wants. And Woods is an actual good NFL wide receiver. He's also playing, you know, just about every snap, 96% of snaps last week. You're right, Andy. He's a very good run blocker, and so maybe they utilize him in that way. Because this is a divisional matchup, you know, you could see it be this defensive running slugfest. But also, there's two great offenses here. You know, if Russell Wilson gets it cooking, Robert Woods could end up with a great game. So I would lean Robert Woods between that combo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Vegas or the numbers so far this year bear out any sort of slugfest happening on Thursday Night Football. The Rams are not what they were last year on defense. They're giving up 32 fantasy points to fantasy wide receivers. That's bottom half. They're bottom half in every category, which is not something you're used
to seeing. To be fair, they had to play the Cardinals.
That's true. But I think Russ will get it cooking with Metcalf and Lockett in this game. The running game could be stifled if Chris Carson isn't fully available. And so I'm expecting this game to deliver on the over-under.
Yes, please.
Yeah, there's not very many fantasy questions to be asked. I mean, again, if Chris Carson sits, are you going to, and he's on your team, do you play Alex Collins or do you play, somehow you had Chuba Hubbard against Philadelphia?
I'm probably, if I knew Collins had it all by himself, I'm probably willing to go there.
Yeah, that's where I lean as well.
Fournette versus the Miami Dolphins.
Fournette's a great play this week.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah,
what
I
about Samaje if he was alone versus Collins if he's alone?
I lean
the
Collins.
Panthers play the Steelers, I believe, so I would go Collins.
The Bengals,
where Samaje is, I believe, play the Steelers, so I would go Collins.
I would as well. And then this isn't...
That is not accurate.
Oh, perfect. Goodness gracious.
Well, that's why I said Green Bay. Ooh,
that's
a much better matchup.
So do you want to change your advice entirely, or do you want me to move on?
I would still stick with Alex Collins, so move on.
All right.
So Daryl Henderson is a player that I think you should try and trade high for. I think Daryl Henderson is low-key dominating where...
I agree. The snaps.
Like the snaps are there. The opportunities are there. With the fact that he already missed a game, the manager that has Henderson may not see the true value what I believe the true value is for Daryl Henderson. So, yeah, we all want to, you know, buy low, sell high, but I think this is an opportunity where you should just go pay.
I thought you were saying you would trade high.
Oh,
you
no,
said
no.
For him, and I disagreed, but this is, I mean, you called it on DJ Moore, right? Like, DJ Moore is playing well, trade high for him before he continued to dominate. This is a phenomenal offense, and he has been, the center of the running game when he's active, and you know, you look, he hasn't had a performance outside the top 20 so far at running back, and I think he hasn't peaked. So
he's getting it done in the running game. His yards per carry is outstanding in all three games.
And it's not just that. Like, watch him play. He's a good player. He has juice and can hit a huge play. And the past two games he has played, 5 targets and 6 targets.
Agreed.
Like, this is not the full experience, but this is similar to a Todd Gurley type of a workload.
Yeah, it's just the goal line that might be different for Henderson.
It could be, but those first 2 weeks he saw 3 carries inside the 5 in week 1. He saw 1 in week 2.
Sony wasn't there yet though, right?
No, but Sony also fumbled this last week, if I remember right.
He did. Tyler Higbee or Dawson Knox?
Oh, wow.
That is really tough because Knox has been great 3 weeks in a row. He's in the flames. But man, the targets have been there for Higbee. The offense is just as good. I lean Higbee.
Dalton Schultz or Tyler Higbee? Same thing, Higbee?
Oh, I'd go Schultz.
Oh, really? So yeah. that means Schultz or Knox, Mike. Let me just put this. Wait a minute.
That's incredibly close.
How can you say? Didn't you just say Higbee over Knox?
No, that was Jason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was Jason. I know a lot of people think we're the same person, but they aren't usually watching us speak.
I make all the sound drops.
And the voiceover.
I do both.
And you do guitar and you're tattooed. Right?
And it's football time.
That's right.
I would play Knox over Higbee. I would stay in the fire of that.
Okay.
But Schultz and Knox, TBD. Ask me later.
Okay.
I don't have to decide that right now.
Fair enough.
Also, make sure there are a lot of players here like the Robert Woods, Van Jefferson tier, where you would have them on your flex in a normal roster, move them to the wide receiver or running back slot. They play on Thursday. Leave yourself flexibility for the rest of the week.
All right. Want to invite you over to jointhefoot.com if you want to be a part of our fantasy football community. Starts of the week, matchups, boom, boom, kicker, all coming on tomorrow's episode of the show. We'll talk to you then.
And we'll see you later tonight on Green Room, Foot Clan. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.